Good morning. I'm sorry that Deborah couldn't be here today. It turns out that we had our state association is called WERDA, and she's on the executive committee, and they had a meeting in Madison to discuss some of the latest things happening on the state level with funding and federal level as well. So she had to be there and asked me to be with all of you today. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about transit in general, but then also hone in more on some Valley Transit specific stuff, but the trends do follow what other transit systems in the state have experienced as well, along with some of our paratransit services. This slide you're going to see, I know, at least one other time today. I borrowed it from you, Carrie. This is a map that shows the different types of public transportation systems that are around in our state. And there are some very creative services happening that you're going to hear about a little bit later, along with those of us that are providing the fixed route transit services throughout the state. So why is transit important in the communities that it serves? Well, it does a lot of things. It connects people to employment, it connects them to education, to medical appointments, to daily needs, those errands that we all have to run, to the grocery store, to the pharmacy, all of those things. And it helps people become more self-sufficient. Owning and operating a vehicle is expensive. It's estimated to be about $10,000 a year. So that whole car, everybody should have a car thing, doesn't really follow, as Bruce talked about, the trends, but also economically, people are looking to these other services to be able to get them where they need to go. And the need is increasing at a time when the funding is experiencing more and more challenges. Across the state, a lot of the transit systems have seen increases. For us, last year, our bus ridership was nearly 1.3 million on all of the services that we provide, which was a 3% increase over 2011. This year, that trend is still continuing. We're currently up another 3% going into through the end of June. So we are seeing more and more of a need. And then this picture I just think is cool. This is kind of neat. In Appleton, we were actually one of the leaders in public transportation. This picture is going back to 1886. From 1886 to 1930, we had these electric streetcars. And this is a shot of downtown Appleton on College Avenue. And it was incredibly successful at the time, but then in 1930 we moved into your regular buses, which this shows what our buses look like today. We have a fleet of 29 buses, we have 32-foot buses, 40-foot buses, and then smaller 20-passenger buses that get people around town on 18 different routes. That 1,095,000 trips, that is for our fixed route service only. As I said, that was a 2% increase, and it's our highest ridership since 1995. This is a little snapshot of our service area. I do have our system maps in the back if you're interested in those. You can kind of see where the different routes in all different colors are. That's the fixed route service. The gray area is our full service area, including our paratransit service area, and then the peachy pink area is the connector, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit further on. But those bus routes do serve 9 different municipalities and 3 different counties. In addition to the fixed route bus service, we do operate Valley Transit 2, which is an ADA paratransit service. It is required by the government that transit systems that operate fixed route bus service need to provide alternate transportation. And so that's what our Valley Transit 2 service does. We have extra service in Outagamie County for seniors that are age 60 and over. They can use the service as well. But the thing is, if there isn't fixed route service, there's no ADA service. So when I start to talk in a little bit about the funding challenges that we have, and sometimes those solutions for transit systems would be to cut the fixed route service, when you do that, you also cut the corresponding paratransit service. So that's a lot of people who are suddenly unable to get where they need to go. And again, this gray area, I just want to remind you of the large area that it serves for us for the paratransit service. Now, the connector is a relatively new program. Well, I guess time flies when you're having fun, right, Rhonda? Rhonda from United Way is here, and they are one of our partners in a unique service that started in 2007. United Way Fox Cities had a series of volunteers who looked at lots of community issues. And back in 2006, one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest barriers for self-sufficiency was access to reliable transportation and access to jobs for using public transportation, especially for those second and third shift jobs. And another problem that we have in the Fox Cities that many other areas have as well is we have these growing industrial park areas that aren't currently served by fixed route transit. But that's where a lot of the jobs are. So how do you get people there? So a series of meetings occurred, and the idea for the connector came about. And what the connector did was expand our service area from that gray area, made it much wider, and people are able to get to jobs and other daily needs using the connector. The service operates 6 days a week. It starts at 4 a.m. and it runs until midnight. So we're able to cover those second and third shift jobs. We're able to get to some of those industrial parks that didn't have fixed route service. And the people who are using the service, it was created initially for employment. But whenever you create something new, there wasn't a roadmap, pun intended, to follow. We didn't know who was going to use this and what was it going to look like. And again, it was created for employment. And from day one, these trips have primarily been for employment purposes. We hover between 90 to 94% of the 15,000 trips provided on this service each year are for employment. An additional 4% of the trips last year were for education. So that means 96% of the trips are going to help people become more self-sufficient. And it's creatively funded as well. United Way Fox Cities is our largest local funder, as well as corporations and other granting sources that help to make up the additional local share for that. And then rider fares help, as well as state and federal funding. So this is specific to us. We are owned and operated by the city of Appleton, but we have 9 other municipal partners, 3 county partners, 3 family care organizations, 3 nonprofit agencies, and 2 private businesses that help to support our funding. So that's 21 local funding partners. That's a pretty complicated pie. And when any one piece of that pie, when that funding goes away, it's a challenge to continue to provide the level of service that you were providing and make up for deficits. You can see the breakdown for us, and we're pretty similar to the other fixed route transit systems in the state in terms of percentages of funding. We get 19% of our funding from the fare box, from rider fares, 31% from the state, 30% federal, and 20% from those local funding partners that I talked about earlier. I do have fact sheets in the back of the room that do have detailed information on this as well. But we do have our challenges. For 2014, we have a continued 10% state funding cut, and Bruce talked about this a little bit. We experienced it in 2012 and 2013 as well. We're incredibly grateful that in 2015 we'll see that 4% increase. That will certainly help. But one of the challenges that many of the transit systems faced over the last 2 years was how do you make up that 10% cut? For us, it was about $300,000. That's a lot when we're already facing continued cuts and have gotten to pretty lean systems. I mean, there's not a lot of fat to trim in most transit system budgets. In Appleton, with Valley Transit, we were able to have a few two-time sources of money to help the last 2 years, so we didn't have to cut service or raise fares. But we are in the initial budgeting process for 2014 right now, and really struggling with how we're going to fill in that deficit. At the same time, the state budget locks in the property tax. That's where we get our local funding from. That levy limit, most of our municipalities, and I think it's similar to other communities, they're at their levy limit. So there's not a way that we can go to our municipal funding partners and say, can you give us a 3%, 4%, or 5% increase? We also have some challenges, and many other transit systems do in the state now as well. The funding that we get for bus capital funding for buses and bus facilities, there's struggles there. We have a fleet that's dating back to the early 90s that in the course of the next 5 to 6 years we'll need to look at replacing. The funding that's there right now don't even provide enough dollars to maintain what we have. And that's similar to what other transit systems are experiencing in the state as well. And all of this happens at a time when transit ridership is on the rise. 40% of all the trips taken with Valley Transit Services are for employment. Bruce talked a little bit before about the decrease in the passenger vehicle miles driven, the funding that's not following the trends, and millennials wanting to drive less. Not only is this an issue for transportation and the services that you'll hear about from my fellow panel members today, but it's also an economic development issue. If we don't have the transit services available to attract and retain those millennials, are we going to have them supporting our communities, working in our communities, living and thriving in our communities? What do our communities look like? And at the same time, Bruce talked about the boomers. A lot of times what we hear from our riders is they're able to stay in their homes for longer and remain independent because they have access to paratransit services, to shared ride services, to Valley Transit, fixed route services. And so what is it gonna look like in the communities if we don't have those services available anymore? For us and for all the other transit systems in the state, when you look at funding cuts, there's a variety of ways to look at trying to make up those cuts. You can increase your cost to your local funding partners, but we talked about property tax levy limits are challenging. You can cut service, but the problem with that is not only do you serve fewer people and people, the obvious issues of people not being able to get where they need to go, the less service that you provide, the less funding that you get, and it's truly the death spiral for your transit system in your community. You can also raise fares. You can continue to cut the cost of providing service, but as I said, that's getting more and more difficult every year. So many of us have already cut most of the fat out of our budgets and are operating very lean. You can also find a local dedicated source of revenue for transit. That is something that we have been working on for about 8 years. Our mayor has been involved in trying to get the enabling legislation for a regional transit authority that would allow our communities to vote to choose to tax themselves to provide an additional source of funding in the form of an additional sales tax. Previous legislation has always said up to a half a cent. When we were looking at it in our community, we would need up to 0.2 cents. Where we're stuck is we can't get the right to even form a regional transit authority. We're the only state in the Midwest who doesn't have that right, one of the few in the country. So we continue to work on that. It would help to provide that local dedicated source of revenue for transit so that we wouldn't have these drastic cuts and try to deal with cutting service or raising fares. So we do continue to work on that on a state level. All right, that's it. And I know we'll do questions at the end, so I will just take that slide off. Thank you very much for giving me time to talk to you today.